out of the anti-white system and tune in to the pro-white system at radioarian.com.
Hello and welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Tuesday the 6th of August 2019 and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, broadcasting at radioarian.com. Well, the big news at the moment is Trump's speech yesterday where he condemned white supremacy and white nationalism and talked about we need to have people that are flagged up on social media having their guns taken away from them. He also called for the death penalty for people who carry out mass shootings as part of a hate crime. And it is bizarre the way that they are saying this recent massacre was motivated by hate. I mean, what do they think other massacres are motivated by, if it's only this one that's motivated by hate? I mean, it does bring into focus the ridiculousness of calling these sort of crimes hate crimes. Most crimes are carried out of hatred for society. Otherwise, people wouldn't be doing it. If they cared about the people they were committing the crimes against, they clearly wouldn't be carrying out these crimes. And I think a possibly linked to this is the Daily Stormer being down at the moment. Bitmitigate, which is the equivalent of Cloudflare, but it's owned by Epic. That's Rob Monster, the guy who works with Andrew Tauber over at Gab, who supports free speech. And he's a really good guy, and he works hard to ensure that websites that aren't breaking any laws can stay online, basically. Well, Bitmitigate has been dropped by its upstream provider, so it's unable to provide DDoS attack protection, which means the Daily Stormer is down from the main web. And I do wonder if that was to do with some of the articles that have recently been on there. And I must say, it's been some very good journalism on there, very good investigative journalism that you won't find anywhere else. In particular, about these killings, finding out the information on this El Paso killer and the fact that he was a furry and he was into perversity, and also this other killing, and that the person responsible for this other mass shooting was actually a leftist and a big supporter of Elizabeth Warren. Yet nobody's calling for Elizabeth Warren to stop tweeting and scale back her rhetoric. And nobody's pointing out the fact that the majority of these mass shootings in America are carried out by blacks. You will see on the radio schedule picture for today pictures of everybody responsible for killing four or more people in America this year, and about 75% of them are black. Nobody's pointing that out, though. There's just this hysteria that white nationalism is the biggest threat to America at the moment. And I do find it suspicious that this massacre comes straight after the head of the FBI said that white nationalism was the biggest threat facing America. And there have been so many quote-unquote domestic terrorist attacks that were linked to people that could be classed as being white supremacists. So I think there's a lot of pressure on Trump at the moment. Obviously, there's pressure for him to condemn this. But really, he should have pointed out that this wasn't a result of his rhetoric. This is a result of his wall not being built. And whether that's his own fault, which Greg Johnson thinks over at Countercurrents, or whether it's the fault of the Democrats. That's the reason, because these people that are carrying out these attacks, that's what they're concerned about. They're concerned about immigration and that there's been, there doesn't appear to be a legal way to stop it. And if Donald Trump had built his wall, there would have been a legal way to stop it. And I would suggest these attacks wouldn't have happened because these people that are clearly unbalanced and likely to go over the edge, they just wouldn't go over the edge because they would see that something was being done to stop the immigration. This El Paso shooter, he was against Trump. So for the mainstream media to be blaming Trump's tweets for this is ridiculous. And I do think he's been a bit over the top in his response to it. People are saying that he's going to execute people for hate crimes, but that wasn't what he said. He said people that carry out these mass killings because of a white supremacist ideology. That's what he means by hate crime there. I don't think he means people that criticize immigration online. They should be executed for that. We have had something like that in the past, of course. In the USSR, it was a capital crime to criticize Jews, but I don't think it's going to get that far in America just yet. One concern is that this idea he has of flagging up social media accounts. Who is it that's going to be doing the flagging? Is it going to be the same people that are flagging up these accounts now? So the SJWs at Facebook and the ADL and these other organizations that are working with YouTube, they're going to be the ones responsible for it, for getting people's guns taken away from them. And don't forget, Brenton Tarrant, when he carried out his terrorist act, one of the reasons why he said he did it was because he wanted to see a clampdown on guns. He wanted to see guns being taken away. So is this an acceptance that we do now give in to terrorists' demands? I mean, a lot of questions about this, about his speech yesterday, and we'll really have to wait and see how it turns out. One thing is for certain, though, the mainstream media are totally ignoring Trump's turnaround on this, and they're saying, oh, he hasn't gone far enough, he's not mentioning his tweets, and he's not going to dial back his tweets, and it's ridiculous of him to try and pander to them, because they're never going to support him. And as a way of an example of just showing, putting these attacks in perspective and what's going on there, there's the first report that I've got here today is about a recent school shooting, an attempted massacre. And it turns out there was an ideology behind this as well, only it wasn't a white supremacist ideology. It was a transgender supremacist ideology. A school shooter who killed a student during a deadly rampage said he targeted classmates who taunted him for being transgender, police say. Court documents released Thursday allege that Alec McKinney, 16, and pal Devon Erickson, 18, were motivated by McKinney's vengeance when they opened fire at STEM School's Highlands Ranch in Colorado on May the 7th. Authorities say McKinney, who is transitioning from female to male, admitted that he planned the attack because he wanted the kids at the school to experience bad things, have to suffer from trauma like he has had to in his life. McKinney also reportedly told investigators he wanted everyone in that school to suffer and realize that the world is a bad place. He told police that students called him names and said he was disgusting for trying to be a guy and referred to him as a she. So why aren't there calls to ban websites that are encouraging transgenders? Why isn't anybody mentioning that transgenders are, by their very nature, by the very way that they are, they're showing that they are unstable? We know that a lot of them kill themselves, but an awful lot of them also go out and try to kill other people, which has happened here. And it's kind of like the opposite of the ideology that we are told is hate. It's, you know, we criticize the transgenders and we get told we're white supremacists and we have to be shut down. And this guy is criticizing straight people and saying he wants to shoot them for not accepting him being a trans. And this is something that really should be highlighted, because they should be trying to prevent this from happening. They should be trying to prevent people from thinking that they're the wrong gender, because it leads to situations like this, where somebody goes into a school and shoots it up because of a perceived grievance against the other school children there, because they don't accept what he's doing. And what he or she is actually doing is trying to be the center of attention, whether it's positive attention or negative attention. That's what they want. That's the whole point of this, is to get attention for themselves. And he or she or whatever it is, they've succeeded in getting all that attention, but now they don't like it because the attention is negative. If people had just ignored him, I dare say he still would have gone out and shot people for not paying any attention to him. Erickson said that McKinney contacted him on Snapchat the night before the shooting and said he was suicidal and wanted revenge, the court documents state. So why didn't Erickson say, well, that's not a very good idea. Why would you want to kill yourself? Why would you want to kill other people? I mean, that's what a normal person would say. But that isn't what Erickson said. The next day, they went to Erickson's house during lunch and raided his parents' gun safe after breaking in with an axe and a crowbar. They took 3 handguns, a rifle, ammunition, and magazines. Now, what are these kids being taught to think that this is a good idea, to go out and have revenge on all the rest of the school? I mean, you can imagine one person going a little bit crazy, but 2 of them? The other person, instead of pointing out that this was a crazy idea, he went along with it? He thought it was a good idea? I don't think this Erickson is a transgender. So maybe we've got more of a problem here than just the transgenders going a little bit crazy. We've got a whole generation of young people that don't really understand wrong from right and don't understand how to cope with life not treating them with kid gloves, basically. If you look at the way kids are brought up in schools now, they're not allowed to ever lose. When they have their sports day, they all get given a prize. How are they supposed to cope with it when they get to real life and things don't actually go right for them? Well, judging by this, they respond with just trying to kill everyone. They both took cocaine before the shooting. However, Erickson told police that McKinney threatened him to do so. Now, that's obviously not true. Nobody threatens somebody to take cocaine or I'll shoot you. Especially not if they're going to go out and do something like this. He's going to want this guy on his side, isn't he? He's not going to be threatening him, because he didn't have to be watching his back. Afterwards, they put the guns in a backpack and a guitar case and returned to school. The New York Post reported that McKinney made numerous references to drugs and getting sober on Twitter in the months leading up to the shooting. Erickson reportedly told police that multiple times that he was going to stop McKinney, but he couldn't articulate how or why he never told an adult. Well, if he was going to stop him, why did he allow him to just take the weapons from his parents' house? Why did he show him where the weapons were? He's obviously approving of this. He's obviously going along with it. He's not trying to stop the guy. Both suspects gave police different accounts of what happened after they entered the school and brandished the guns. Erickson said he took a Glock pistol out of a guitar case and told everyone to get down, and then claimed he accidentally fired the gun after 2 students rushed him. He said he then surrendered the gun. McKinney said Erickson pulled out the gun and said nobody move, then began shooting. McKinney said he fired his 2 handguns, but was tackled by students and a teacher. He said he slipped away and grabbed a 3rd handgun from the backpack to kill himself, but was unable to disengage the gun's safety, according to court documents. Kendrick Castillo, 18, rushed one of the shooters when they began firing. He was struck and died approximately a foot away from one of the shooters, CNN reported. And apart from Castillo, there were eight others who were injured in the shooting. This is obviously a hate crime, isn't it? This is a transgender that hates everybody else that isn't transgender and wants to kill them. So why isn't Trump calling for the death penalty for people like that, for transsexuals that go wild and start trying to kill people? It's quite a common thing. There was a transsexual the other day I was reading about who covered her boyfriend in bleach and tried to set fire to it. It's quite common that these transgenders will be hyper-violent, but there's no special type of crime for when they attack people that aren't a part of their minority. And of course, we can also link in with this, the Antifa terrorist who tried to set fire to an immigrant holding facility, an ICE facility recently, tried to bomb that. And this other left-winger who shot up Dayton, Ohio. So that's just literally within the last 3 weeks we've had three left-wing terrorists here, three would-be left-wing terrorists, and nobody's pointing that out. Nobody's pointing out the ideology that's encouraging them to do all of this. They're not pointing out Elizabeth Warren. They're not pointing out the Democrats and their attacks on Trump and the Antifa's attacks on ICE and Andy Ngo. Nobody's pointing that out. It's all just talking about white nationalism. And to be honest, that's just going to wake more people up to the fact that it's just white people and it's just right-wing white people that the media is against. It's totally unbalanced. And this sort of reporting of it helps us and it wakes people up. And I would suggest that the sort of people that go a little bit crazy, they're people that don't realize that there is already a lot of us out here that understand what's going on. And we have ways of dealing with it. And we talk about ways of dealing with it. The worry is that you get somebody that realizes what's going on and they don't realize that there are others out there that do understand what's going on and that are doing things to try and make things better. And they think there's no hope and they take the law into their own hands and do something like this El Paso shooter did. That's the concern. And that's why it's important that we have access to the public square. We have access to the internet so that we can get our peaceful, non-violent message out there. Because if it gets driven underground, then all you're going to be left with is these crazy gun nuts that go out and just shoot a load of people. And none of us want that because it just harms our cause. Well, let's change gear here now and talk about a totally different news story that I've got here. This is in Britain. This is from Breitbart. Non-Muslim schoolgirls in Lincolnshire, England, are being asked to don the Islamic hijab headscarf for a day in November. Garda Muhammad of the Lincoln Muslim Sisters Forum is organising the event, which she hopes will be taken up by high schools all around the country to increase non-Muslim girls' knowledge of the religious garments and decreased alleged incidents of abuse against hijabi girls. Now, I'll say right here, I don't believe in this so-called abuse of hijabi girls. They claim that they get spat at, they get abused. Men don't abuse women. And white men, British men, don't abuse women in hijabs, especially not nationalists. Why would a nationalist do that? It would just make them look bad to everybody that's around them. On the whole, most people are friendly and polite to Muslims. They're certainly not going to attack girls. I mean, schoolgirls. And the other thing is, why are we encouraging people to be wearing these hijabs? When you think about the reason for the hijab, it's to prevent these these Muslim women from exciting the sexual passions of the Muslim men, because if the Muslim men's sexual passions are aroused, then they're liable to rape the women. And they're like, or at the very least, they're liable to want to have sex with them. So the hijab and the burqa is not something that anyone that is not already sexually active should be wearing. It's the equivalent of wearing adult clothes, basically. If you're wearing a hijab or a burqa, it's adult clothes, because it's there to prevent the Muslim male from becoming sexually aroused. And what they're saying here is that these schoolgirls, who are all under the age of 16, they should be wearing this article of clothing that's there to prevent the Muslim men from becoming aroused. So it's admitting that these Muslim men are aroused by schoolgirls and younger, and then saying that they should all be wearing these hijabs. It's absolutely crazy to be encouraging this. You've also got the problems that they've got in Iran. You've got these women out there in Iran that are saying, we don't want to be wearing this hijab and we're being forced to wear it. Please have some solidarity with us. And there's no solidarity with them from these organizations here in Britain. They're trying to encourage people to wear them. The BBC reported that one Muslim girl told them that the hijab was part of her identity, but wearing it sometimes made her feel like she was not a part of the community, and that she supported Mrs. Mohammed's initiative. What community is she referring to there? Is she referring to the British community when she wears a hijab? She doesn't feel like she's a part of Britain. I mean, that's another part of it. Islam is political. It's as political as it is religious. And wearing these visible signs of being a Muslim is the equivalent of wearing a political uniform. And wearing a political uniform in Britain is illegal. It's been illegal since Oswald Mosley and the black shirts. Muslims appear to be able to get away with it, though. They appear to be able to get away with wearing a political uniform simply because they're Muslims and claim that it's religious. But Islam is as political as it is religious. The idea that Muslim girls might try not wearing the hijab to feel more like part of the community was not raised in the BBC report, although it was broached on social media by talk radio host Julia Hartley Brewer. That's a very good point. Lincolnshire non-Muslim girls asked to wear hijab for a day, or how about the Muslim girls try not wearing a hijab for a day and see how nice life is in a free society where women are equal with men and don't need to cover themselves up to get respect, she tweeted. Now, that is what you would expect to be going on in a sensible world. You would expect to be saying that to these girls, but they're not. They're just saying to normal white British girls that they should be dressing up in this get-up that is there so that they don't arouse the passions of Muslim men. Effectively, so that they don't get raped. And this is what the imams have said. They said this after the Cologne mass rape over in Germany. They said, well, if these women didn't go out in makeup and short skirts and were to wear a hijab, then it wouldn't have happened and they wouldn't have got raped. And this is one of the reasons why they support these rape gangs, because they're not going to go after Muslim women. They're not going to go after people wearing the hijab. And in these multicultural areas where white women do not feel safe anymore, obviously, it's going to be safer for them to wear this. So this is just a subtle way of encouraging more people to wear this and making it acceptable, and also covering up the reason for it. They're totally covering up the reason that it's a sexual reason for this. I mean, it's disgusting when you see 6 or 7 year old girls wearing burqas and hijabs, because what that is effectively saying is that these Muslim adult men find 6 and 7 year old girls sexually attractive. And that's why they have to be wearing this hijab. It's an admittance that they're involved in pedophilia, basically, that pedophilia is an accepted part of their culture. Islamic headscarves have previously been promoted by the British government itself, with the Foreign and Commonwealth Office organising a walk-in event for World Hijab Day, which already exists, separately from Mrs. Muhammad's planned day for staff in 2018, providing them with free headscarves and inviting them to wear them. So there's already a special day for this, and they need to have a, they're going to have a different one now. How many days do they need where they encourage non-Muslims to dress up as Muslims? And what about these other countries in Europe that are saying, well, we need to ban this stuff. We want to ban the burqa. This is not on these people wearing these head coverings. We can't tell who they are. I believe there was a recent mugging or some kind of attack in London, and it was carried out by people wearing burqas, and people couldn't tell who they were. We've had Muslim terrorists escape from the police by wearing a burqa. These Muslim females that are wearing these coverings, they don't get searched when they go on planes for some reason, and yet they are the very people most likely to carry out terrorist attacks, and yet they're the ones that don't get searched because they're wearing a burqa, of course, because it would offend their religious sensibilities for them to be seen by security services. Would you like to try on a hijab? Or learn why Muslim women wear the headscarf? Come along to our walk-in event. Free scarves for all those that choose to wear it for the day or part of the day, reads an internal email promoting the event. And you just know that they're not going to say, well, the reason why we wear it is because it prevents us from being raped by the Muslim gangs, the Muslim men. They're not going to explain that, are they? Muslim women, along with followers of many other religions, choose to wear the hijab. Many find liberation, respect, and security through wearing it. Hashtag strong in hijab. In the West, in Western countries, our women used to feel safe enough to be able to walk around barefaced. They used to feel safe enough that they could do that, and the European men had self-control. So much self-control that the women were safe to do that. And in these countries where they wear these face coverings, it's obvious that they're not safe to do that. They're not safe to be walking around. They're not safe to show even their wrists or their ankles in these non-white countries, because they'll just get jumped by a male if he sees them. And it's the total opposite in Europe. And yet now in parts of Europe, we have areas where women and children, white women and children, they can't go out on the streets at night. They're scared to go out during the day. They're scared to come home from school because they might be attacked. We should be discouraging this, not encouraging it. And of course, in Orthodox Judaism, it's the same. In Orthodox Judaism, the women have to cover themselves up. Of course, that's something that the counter jihadis don't want you to know about. And the final news story that I've got here, if we've got time, concerns this British teen that was made an allegation of being gang raped by 12 Israelis the other week, which everybody was particularly shocked by. Since then, she apparently confessed to having made it up, which seemed a little bit strange to me. You think about all the media furore that surrounded this, and there were all these top lawyers and all these rich Israeli Jews that were turning up in Cyprus. Well, after that, she's suddenly said, well, oh actually, I just made it up. And now she's come back to Britain, and she said that she was forced to sign a confession fabricated by the police. The 19-year-old woman was denied a lawyer and made to sign the statement after being kept at the police station for 8 hours. Last month, she told police up to a dozen teenagers had held her down before taking it in turns to sexually assault her in Ayia Napa. Following her confession, though, they were released and returned to Israel to a hero's welcome, celebrating with champagne after she allegedly changed her story. She could face a year in jail if she is found guilty of making up the allegations against the 12 Israelis. But it is thought the police threatened to arrest her friends if she did not withdraw her complaint. Michael Pollack, a British barrister who is representing the teenager, said the confession was obtained under oppression given the threats made. She was not cautioned and was not given access to a lawyer, as was her right under the European Convention on Human Rights. Furthermore, the teenager was not told she could leave the police station, nor given the option of leaving at any point. He told The Sun, it is also understood that, unfortunately, none of the proceedings at the Cypriot police station were recorded. In the UK, interviews must be recorded by law. The woman also sent messages to her friends minutes before she was charged at 2:30 a.m, claiming that the police would not let her speak to anyone. She texted, "It's crazy. They wouldn't let me talk to anyone. I said I have a right to have a lawyer here. Not in Cyprus, maybe the UK, but not in Cyprus. They've honestly made me sign false ... Other messages to her friends read, "Bad things with police. They think it's a conspiracy and they threatened an international arrest warrant to arrest you all for it." One friend replied, "WTF, what the hell?" So what's really going on there then? Apparently these Israeli teenagers, they've been putting out video of this girl and they're calling her a whore in Yiddish, and she's saying, "What are you saying?" And they're saying, "Oh, we're talking about how beautiful you are." And they've put a video of her up on these porn sites. And really, the lesson to learn from this is, what are these girls doing going over to Ayin Apa and behaving like slappers? Because apparently she had some kind of a relationship with one of these Israelis. Maybe two of them. But she probably didn't want to be having sex with all of them. And of course, she obviously regretted that the next day and went to the police, but she's got all these problems because she was sleeping with one of them. She was sleeping with two of them. She was drunk. And it's typical Jewish behavior to do something like that. If you look at the Talmud, it calls the goyim shiksas. The female Gentiles they're just dirt to the Jews, according to the Talmud. So calling this woman a whore while telling her that what they're really saying is that she's beautiful, that's sanctioned by the Talmud. They have no respect for Gentile women. And it is suspicious that once all these Jewish lawyers turned up and once it hit the mainstream media, it was then that she was pressured into changing her story. I mean, there may be Freemasonic links there or what have you. But these women that are just putting it about like this is the sort of thing that happens. Look at the mess that happened from her going to Ayin Apa looking for sex, basically. She ends up getting raped, and she ends up getting gang raped, and nobody knows if she's telling the truth or if these Jews are telling the truth. And if she had just looked for a British man, none of this would have happened, would it? And somehow I doubt that many young British women will take my advice on that until it's too late. And they've already made these mistakes and they've already messed their lives up. In which case, they should be speaking out and trying to talk to the young women that are around today and try to encourage them not to make the same mistakes that they did. But of course, it's in human nature to double down and keep defending your mistakes rather than admit that you were wrong. Takes a certain amount of courage to admit that you were wrong and a certain amount of strength to be able to do that and change your thinking. And most nationalists have that strength because we didn't all start out as nationalists. We started out thinking in different ways and believing the liberal agenda. And then when you're faced with the truth, you either have to accept it and accept that you were wrong, or you can carry on living a lie. Let's hope that this young girl has learnt a lesson and she follows the truth from now on. Anyway, thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow. Carolyn Jaeger is having some time off, so we will have Matthew Heimbach with us tomorrow, and he's going to be talking about Puerto Rico. Anyway, thank you very much for listening. See you again tomorrow. God bless, and hail victory.
You're tuned in to Radio Aryan at Radio.